Welcome to a 2-year anniversary episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts, Andrew, David, and Jen. This week, we look back on the last year of our show, and now the cast begins. Okay, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. This is like the 101st. Actually, it's not like the 101st. It is the 101st. I'm Andy, and I'm hanging out with David.
Hey.
Jen.
Hey.
And we are on Skype again.
Yes.
Which means that we're not giving you guys the movie episode that we promised you, but that will come later. I swear to God. Just, you know, be patient. You people are patient.
Yeah, just chill out, guys. Come on.
Just chill out. Quit yelling at me. I can hear you through the MP3
through the
player.
Internet.
I can
the
hear internet. It. So what we're going to do, since it's our 2-year episode, I think we started September 15th, 2010. I think it was the 15th. It was when the first one came out.
Andy, you could go to www.timecardsupercast.com and look that up.
You mean like I was mocking Gen 4 earlier?
Yes. Let me look.
So for our... I think this is going to start to become a thing every year. We're going to look back on the last year and think about what we want to do coming up, talk about the kind of things we're thinking of doing. What was your favorite? What was your guys' favorite thing this year? Let's just get right the fuck into it.
So my favorite thing of the things that I hadn't read prior to recording the episode was actually Secret Six.
That one was pretty good.
I had heard a lot about that comic and Gail Simone in particular as well. So I was pretty excited to read it, and it did not disappoint at all. I really enjoyed that comic, and, we say this a lot, that we're going to continue reading them. But this one I actually haven't yet, but I do plan on reading it because I liked it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, see, Gail Simone's funny. I always knew did good character work, but I never put in the time to read more than like one shots or more than just like little bits, you know? And this was like the first time I put in the time to read a full trade as part of an ongoing. And I was like, oh, now I see what everybody means and why she constantly is assigned to teams to write and why she's constantly assigned like these sort of forgotten characters to dredge up and give character to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they were really, like you said, characters were really interesting. Catman just sounds like a ridiculous character, which is funny because he almost sounds the same as Batman, and nobody thinks Batman's ridiculous. At least comic book fans don't.
Yeah.
But he was a really engaging character, and Bane as well.
Yeah, Bane. I think Bane was my favorite takeaway from that comic.
Bane was very interesting, and he was slightly creepy, too, at the end.
Bane?
Not the end, but he was kind of... Well, it was an interesting build-up until we figured out what his thing was, and it turned out he was just like this. He was trying to take care of what's
Scandal Savage.
Yeah, Scandal. He was just trying to take care of her, not being a creepy old man. Which it came across a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah. What about you, Jen? What was your favorite?
Secret Six was definitely one of them. I was just like saying, Bane was like really cool in that, but you got to give Gail Simone props for Catman because she took a really lame character there and made him interesting. whereas Bane has always been interesting. Let's see. Oh, reading Kraven's Last Hunt was really fun just because it was so unexpectedly good.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Let's see. 52 was... It was like so long, and it was tough to get through, honestly. It was a lot of comics, but it had a pretty good payoff, along with Annihilation, which was also kind of long, but that was a fun story.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked reading Annihilation just fine, but when I sat back and looked at all these, I was like, oh god, Annihilation, that was so long. There were parts of it that were so gratifying and parts of it that I just couldn't give fewer fucks about.
Yeah, I think Annihilation as a whole is a really good story, but there within it, you know, some of the little tie-ins and stuff, some are clearly better than others.
Well, and like the whole thing with Nova, it's nice that they did the same thing for Nova like they did for Kyle Rayner and made him Nova Prime. just the way they made Kyle Rayner Ion. It keeps the parallels going. But, like, that whole thing, I just couldn't have cared about less in retrospect. But the Drax thing, I remember, had the fucking best payoff.
That was good. Yeah. Silver Surfer in that, too, was amazing.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about how good Silver Surfer was in that.
Annihilation is kind of interesting because after it, another series came out immediately after Annihilation called Annihilation Conquest. And it's kind of about the fallout from the Annihilation wave coming through. And then it spins off into Guardians of the Galaxy. I think Nova is a little bit bigger. He's even more central in Annihilation Conquest than he is in than the main Annihilation. I'm not saying go read it. I liked it a lot, though.
So. Yeah. And I'm not saying 52 didn't have the same problem, because 52, there's so many storylines. Like, I'm sure any one person could pick up 52 and pick a different storyline and say that they didn't like it. You know, I think the only one that pretty much is universally liked, as far as I know, is the Question one, because it's got that awesome payoff when you see her finally wearing the Question outfit and all that kind of good stuff. But there's so many other storylines that I know people hate, like the whole thing with the Metal Men. You know, I know people hated that bit, and same problem with needing editors, but I'm willing to forgive that one because it was once a week. Every week for a whole year, and it was always on time. Like, that's awesome.
It's fucking impressive.
Yeah, it's definitely a big effort on DC's part.
Yeah, yeah, and I got to agree with Jen. I think my favorite was Kraven's Last Hunt. Just reading it, I didn't know. I know comics can be good, and I know they can have commentary, but I wasn't expecting that sort of existential introspection out of fucking Spider-Man. And a character like Kraven. It just came out of left field. It's so unexpected when you read it.
Well, see, the discussion, what you're saying about Kraven, and then what we said about, like, Catman and stuff, is that there's so many ridiculous characters in comics in general, but with the right person telling the story, you could totally make an interesting character. Because, you know, we see people like Kraven, and his shtick is that he's like this big game hunter, right?
Yeah.
But he's also a person, and if the writer takes the time to show us who that person is and understand their motivations more, they can definitely become a more interesting character.
Yeah, and I think it also, from that angle, it bucks the trend, right? Like, a lot of people like to do that. Like, show you this is the character and this is their motivations and where they come from, and I think they do it to try and make him more relatable, almost, to sort of get this feeling that the villain is somehow more complex than you realized, and you kind of root for him, but he's still, you know, he's doing it the wrong way, you know, or even like the operative in Serenity, right? Like, he's a bad guy because he's too absolute in his views, and like, you can understand that, you can grasp it and everything, but I like that in Kraven's Last Hunt. Okay. Here's the behind the scenes view of Kraven. He really is fucking nuts. there's no relating. There's no like thing you can come at him that makes it understand. No, he's fucking nuts. Let me just show you how fucking nuts he is. I like that. But yeah, and then the other one that I can think of as one of my favorites that, again, revived characters that nobody had heard of or forgotten is Next Wave. I cannot remember laughing in a comic that hard in so long from when I went from Next Wave. And the thing that sticks out for me is the, what was it, like 5 2-page splashes in a row of them punching through that complex.
Yeah, that was really cool. And they were fighting like dinosaurs and all these weird things.
It
was
really waves of crap.
Yeah, Next Wave is really cool. Next Wave is like you said, it's definitely a comedy comic, and you see that. But, you know, despite that, some of the characters are pretty interesting, even though they're completely wacky, like Elsa Bloodstone and her backstory where the dad throws her into the pit with the monster when she's a baby with a spoon as her only weapon.
It's her only weapon.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. I mean, the captain's origin story that was like Kyle Rayner's a little bit.
And then, and the panel that you sent me that convinced me to read this and to put it on the show was, Dirk Anger, like his line about, I'm gonna watch TV. I don't even fucking remember what it was, but that one panel. Oh, he's
like, I'm gonna watch TV and do, I forget.
He was talking, I don't know. About, he was all fucking excited with his bowl of cereals. I just remember that panel being fucking hilarious. Nah. I don't remember what was on it. I just remember it being fucking hilarious.
Now I have to look it up.
Oh, did they make... He got progressively zombified, too, throughout that comic, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did they make any more of those? Is that something we could have kept reading?
No, that's just that those. It's two. I think no, it's just one mini, right? Okay, Andy. The line is, he says, "Hot damn, get me a case of vodka, eight loose women, and a stomach pump. Stat. I'm gonna watch TV."
That's it. That shit's amazing.
Yeah.
So okay, well, that's one we couldn't have kept reading. What were some of the ones that we read that? I mean. So this is the problem with reading so many good comics, is there's so many that you want to go, oh man, I really want to keep reading this. This is good stuff. I want to pick up the next one and keep reading it. The problem is there's so much. It's hard to read it all after making that problem.
And then at the same time, there's all the things we read that not we haven't talked about in the show.
Yeah. Like I'm sitting here with the new Captain Marvel books next to me.
Yeah, and I have Fantastic Four, 6, 10... Journey into Mystery 643 and New Avengers number 30 sitting next to me that I have yet to read.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about characters in like half of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would like this Avengers comic has Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Daredevil on the cover, Andy. Ooh,
Daredevil I don't mind, but the other two I like.
Yeah.
So what did you guys read for the show that you actually ended up keeping reading? And enjoyed or didn't enjoy?
I read so much Star Wars. I went and finished. It had some Old Republic name.
Knights of the Old Republic.
Is it just the Old Republic? Is it Knights of the Old Republic?
I'm pretty sure it's Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay, yeah, I finished reading that. I feel like I should know what I read, at least the title. And I read up to the point where I fully saw like how the prophecy played out, which was really awesome, totally worth it, good payoff. And then a bit past that, and I think I actually finished that whole run, because they have a set limit of, like, just 50 issues.
Yeah,
Dark Horse typically does that for each Star Wars title. They only go for 50 issues, which is cool, because I actually like that a lot, because it gives the writers a place to shoot for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a much more cohesive story.
Yeah, you don't run into, like, the Lost or Battlestar Galactica problem, where you're like, oh, there's this whole mythology, and it feels and it looks like there's such a point to it, and then you're, like, in season 3, and you're like, no, this is bullshit. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Well, see, I think that can be an issue in modern comics. Like, if you go back and read, like Silver Age stuff and some Golden Age stuff, there's continuity, but every issue isn't a continuing story.
Yeah.
Whereas in modern comics, I think the only way that they can make it somewhat feasible is to have these events. So you get an event and it's a story, and then there's a couple issues of non-event. And then the next major event starts, like super crossover with, you know, like right now we have Avengers versus X-Men.
Yeah.
And people have died in this comic, and you know what's going to happen next. How long is it going to be before we get to the next crossover, right? Who knows? So
yeah,
I don't know.
And even when there's not crossovers, like the last year of DC, there's other gimmicky things going on that make you want to buy them.
Yeah
But can I get that Star Wars stuff from you? I kind of want to read that.
Absolutely.
Now that we're talking about it again, and I'm not playing Old Republic anymore because I'm waiting for the free-to-play. I'm like, I need my Star Wars fix from something.
Well, I have all the trades too, so whichever one of us you see first can...
All right.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a good read. Let's see. Oh, I also read more BPRD, and I'm a little miffed because I keep, like, I want the trades instead of digital copies, so I keep going to brick-and-mortar stores, and they always have them, like, random, just totally random trades available, so I'm collecting them out of order right now. But I have read a bit, and it's fun. Like, those characters have really good background stories.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's one of the ones that I really wish I had kept writing, too. Just, like... But I think the barrier for me was we read the Plague of Frogs one, but there was the other Plague of Frogs, and I went to go find Volume 2, and I couldn't figure out which one was the right Volume 2 for what we... Like, those stories are so good, but the branding is so bad.
Well, the problem is... like, they name the trades and the stories a little differently from each other, and I think, you know, there is some overlap with Hellboy, which I also started collecting. I got this really sweet, like, hardcover edition that has the first two trades and then a bunch of art sketches in it.
Sick.
So that was, like, exciting. And I'm going to start with that from the beginning, too. But I actually like BPRD a lot better, because something about, like, the... I don't know, the setting, the teamwork, the kind of mythology behind it, the world they build, is a little more engaging than Hellboy's even.
Yeah, I kept reading the ones that everybody would expect me to have kept reading, which is Power Girl, Birds of Prey, and Amikami. The three most cheesecakey things we read of all last year. But in my defense, they're also really, really good. It's not like I'm going out there reading, like, Aspen Comics or Grimm Fairy Tales. Have you ever seen the cover for those?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the most cheesecakey of the cheesecake, and I'm certain there's no story in there.
I think the most cheesecakey comic... Have you ever seen Tara, Witch of the Black Rose?
Yeah.
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 Maybe we should read that for the podcast.
I'm gonna add to the pool. I'm gonna add in a cheesecake arc.
My boyfriend would guest star. Like, every time we go to a comic book shop, he's like, "This is so boring. This is so boring." And then he sees the cover, he's like, "Why don't you read that?" I'm like, "No, just no." Like, that's not cheesecake. That's like finely aged cheese wheel.
Yeah,
I think it's more like cheese whiz.
It's the cheese.
It's the cheese whiz of comics. But yeah, I mean, Power Girl. I don't know, Power Girl. I really like, but I really wish Amanda and Jimmy had stayed on it for more than the first 12 issues. Like, I understand. I think they stepped back because Amanda puts so much into her art, and apparently, and you can see it when you read Power Girl. You can see all the background stuff, and you can see that she puts so much effort and energy into that art that it's hard to keep up that month-to-month churn.
Yeah.
It's so hard. But, God, I wish she had. Yeah. What about you, David? What did you keep reading?
Well, I kind of cheated on the notes because I didn't really read too much of... I didn't continue reading too much of the stuff we read that I hadn't read previously, but like I have read the whole Star Wars runs of the ones we read. Well, not Dark Times, because I couldn't find more of the trades, but I've read all of Knights of the Old Republic and all of Legacy. Annihilation, like I was talking about a little bit before, I think the biggest payoff of getting through Annihilation and Annihilation Conquest is that you get to read Guardians of the Galaxy. That's one of the best comics I've ever read. Now, maybe that's because I loved it so much, but I put it on the list. I think we're actually going to read it in like 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, right? It's coming up. It's finally on there.
It's such a good comic. I won't say too much about it now, but it's another one of those comics where you get these kind of B-Z-list characters that were dragged out of the pits of Marvel Universe, and they're really interesting. They turn out to be... It was a very character-driven comic of these guys who get together, well, guys and girls who get together, and like their name says, they're the Guardians of the Galaxy, but they are not particularly powerful characters. So I'm pretty excited about that. And then also Booster Gold. I think I ranted about this a little bit last week, because the Booster Gold series kind of spun out of 52.
Yeah. 52 really reinvigorated the character.
And then it ran up through the end of Flashpoint, which is when the DC Universe rebooted. And there were so many cliffhangers at the end. I was really mad at DC at that point, because, you know, things just happened. And so in August we had Booster Gold, and, you know, he returns to Rip Hunter's time lab and the blackboard is just erased. And that's it. That's the end. That's the final panel of Booster Gold. It was so stupid. And then the next month you get Justice League International with Booster in it. And
it's not the same Booster.
It's not a good comic. It's not even a good comic.
Yeah.
I just didn't like it.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
It wasn't the same Booster. Everybody still kind of thought he was a sucky hero, and there wasn't... The greatest hero you've never heard of thing was gone.
Yeah, because he's immediately the leader of a team, and everybody, like, respects him for some reason, which is also a very weird feeling.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, people on the team kind of respect him. But the Justice League still don't, and it's, I don't know, I just don't like it.
His team doesn't really respect him.
Like, yeah.
Especially at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Batman has to talk them into following Booster, because he's the leader. They're like, well, he's the leader, so we have to follow him, and I don't know. But yes, the Booster Gold comic that spun out of 52 is excellent, so go read that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, if we're going to talk cheating, Planet Hulk. Planet Hulk, and then the follow-up, the World War Hulk. World War Hulk is so fucking awesome.
Yeah, see? And so what you need to do, people, is go read Incredible Hercules, because what happened was, at the end of World War Hulk, Hercules took over the numbering of Incredible Hulk, and then if you keep reading it, you'll get to the Thorcules arc that we read a long time ago.
Yeah.
But that is a really, really good comic, too.
Yeah, and in retrospect, I'm, like, kicking myself that we did Prelude and Planet Hulk and then didn't do World War Hulk. I think the decision we made was because World War Hulk was too long. But in retrospect, we could have just started straight Hulk and then two World Wars if it was too long. Like, we should have read that.
I think the challenge with World War Hulk was that there's so many tie-ins. Like, Hulk...
Yeah.
Just one Planet Hulk was one book, but then when he comes back to Earth, there's a bunch of tie-ins. Like, there's World War Hulk X-Men, World War Hulk Defenders, and all these different things. So, I mean, we could do it at another point in time, but
yeah, I don't know. Some of the other ones I really wish I'd kept reading was Wonder Woman from the Gail Simone run. That was really good, because that's a character that I've always read about and has always been around, but I never took the time to invest in the character. And then after reading Gail Simone's run, I was like, I could read Wonder Woman. I don't know why not. And then I think in the same vein is She-Hulk. I've always liked She-Hulk whenever I've read her in anything else. But I never really took the time to read, like, volume one of, what is it, Sensational She-Hulk or Savage She-Hulk, whatever She-Hulk it is. Like, I never took the time to sit down and read that run. And I really liked that first trade, and I kicked myself for not finishing it off. What about you guys? Is there anyone that you're kicking yourselves for not finishing up?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Impasse. I'll go. I really want to keep reading Secret Six. It's like, so good. I have Batwoman on this list, and honestly, like, that's a bit cheaty, because I kind of mean the new 52 Batwoman. Same artist, but the different writer, and it is kind of different. Like, I started on that, and I got maybe 6 issues in, and then I kind of fell off it, and I want to finish. But, I mean, Rucka and J.H. Williams created this really iconic Batwoman for me. She's too cool, you know, and I want to see more of her, even if it is by a different writer.
Yeah.
Finally, and this will happen. I promise myself this will happen. Birds of Prey. Because it's just, it was so enjoyable. Like, it was witty. There were, like, some really good action scenes and good, like, emotional moments mixed in. There was some humor. It was kind of just what you want in a comic.
I have the whole thing of Birds of Prey. I can loan to you.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We can trade. I can give you some Birds of Prey, and you can give me some of that Star Wars.
Deal.
Yeah, what about you, David? Is there anything you really regretted not continuing?
I wrote down BPRD on this list. Like you said earlier, Andy, it's just a really good comic. The art's interesting. It's like there's nothing else like it on the shelves, at least in my eyes. But I just haven't got around to reading it. There's too many other comics to read. So I haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah.
But Mike Mignola's art is really good, and Hellboy, and like, I want to know more about Lobster Johnson.
Yeah. That's one of the things that sticks in my mind too from BPRD is Abe Sapien's out of body amnesiatic, or not amnesiatic, his dissociative origin story viewing from the third person. That was so like freaky to watch him watch it. Like, and then like, I want to know every part of that. Yeah, I want to know every part of how that happened and what was going on and what happened after that and how do we get here, that and everything in between. Tell me all of it.
Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, we read of the Abe Sapien stuff. We read there was continuity stuff that kept popping up that was not resolved in the trade that we read. So
yeah. Well, let's turn the other way and talk about the worst things that we read. Because we really try to pick, like, the best stories, you know? Because it's we only have so much time to read, and I don't want to read crap unless I want to read crap because it's like Batman Odyssey, and I can laugh at how crappy it is. You know, if it's like Batman Odyssey or, like, what was the other one? Rise and Fall? Like, yeah. I'll read that crappy shit because it's fun to read it because it's crappy. But there's some stuff that's just a letdown. And the one that we all have, we each came up with our own list individually. The one that we all have on our list is DC versus Marvel.
What do you mean? I must have mistyped that. That was such a good comic.
Was your favorite part the crossover characters? The, what were they called? The amalgams? Was that your favorite part? Or was your favorite part the fucking box? And the fucking brothers?
No, the brothers was just the whole thing was just a hot mess. There were some wacky things about it. Like, I don't think we read it. I don't think we actually read it when we looked at the DC versus Marvel. But there's like some of the amalgam characters, like Dark Claw. Did he come up in
what we read? the Wolverine Batman one?
Yes,
that was so bad.
It's amazing. Who comes up with these kinds of things? It's so 90s. It's such a representation of the 90s.
I just want to point out, like, I think last episode I may have mentioned, like, I started rewatching DBZ. This is the sort of crap you find in bad shoujo. Like, two brothers in a box, but the box is the universe, and then they're fighting, but they don't know each other, because if they remember, it will destroy everything. And it's like, what the fuck? Is this? This is not reasonable in any way, shape, or form.
So, yeah.
Bad times.
Yeah, and it's just so unnecessary. You don't need a whole thing with a box. Just put a fucking portal in the middle of nowhere and say, oh, hey, look, there's a portal. Let's go through the portal.
Yeah, it could be like a boom tube accident.
Yeah, like a boom tube accident.
Darkseid fired up the mother box and farted or something, and it opened the thing to the Marvel universe.
Yeah, and it intersected with somebody traveling to the negative zone, and somehow the beams crossed, and then hey, look at that crossover, done.
So easy. See, you could have written it, and it wouldn't have any fucking wacky brothers.
But this is the benefit of hindsight and coming into our prime after the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, my prime was definitely after the 90s.
About 97.
Yeah. Wait, what, 97? How old was that? No, now we're there.
97, I was like 14.
Definitely not prime, my prime.
Yeah, I'm just
That kidding. Was, what is it, like junior high school? Oh, fucking hell no.
14 is like freshman year of high school.
Yeah, that's it's like junior okay. high school.
That's slightly more tolerable. Speaking of slightly more tolerable, Venom.
I completely disagree with you on this, but I know why you put it on the list, and no. I disagree.
Venom is slightly more tolerable than DC versus Marvel, but why do you disagree? Why do you think it shouldn't be on the list?
You know, Andy, my feeling is that you put it on the list because of the climax, the beach scene. Is that why it's on the list?
That's one of the reasons on the list, yeah. There's so much of it that's so bad.
I don't think it was bad. I think it was... It introduced such an iconic character to the Marvel Universe, and it was a character that, you know, maybe his start was a little rocky, but I think in the end it was an important step in Spider-Man's life.
Are we talking about Peter Parker?
Yes.
Yes, Peter Parker.
Good to know.
Peter Parker.
Well, why don't you like it? I mean, I thought the beach scene was laughable also, but I don't think it would make it the worst thing we read in the last year.
I mean, well, no, I think the worst is DC versus Marvel. But there's so much of it that's the art is horrible. Right?
What?
The art is bad. The only thing that looks good in that comic is Spider-Man slinging around and Venom's suit. Whenever you see anything that's not those two things, which is every single page, because there's at least a background, it's bad. It's so bad. Do you remember Eddie Brock's hair?
There's actually a panel. I think it's the panel where Eddie Brock goes to Aunt May's house, and he's, like, sitting on the porch, and he's got, like, his green coat and his giant facial features. I'd say that wasn't a high point in comic history, but...
No, it wasn't.
I don't think it makes it the worst thing we read.
We had a decent year, but this is the bottom of that year. I gotta say, why? What's your other worst one?
I put Ultimate Galactus.
See, that's not that bad.
See,
why is that so bad? Why is that so bad?
I think there were definitely high points in Ultimate Galactus. I thought Captain Marvel was pretty neat, but things like the way they handled the Vision I didn't like. Not to mention the fact that Galactus was not Galactus at all. It was a freaking swarm of robots. It was the worst thing ever.
Better than a cloud.
It's near... Only slightly. Only slightly. Because think about it, Jen. If that swarm of robots is far enough away, you could mistake it for a cloud.
Maybe that's what's actually in the movie.
It's true.
It's just a really pulled out shot of...
Yeah.
...a swarm of robots. I don't think so, Andy.
At least, like, the robots are kind of shaped like Galactus's helmet. I mean, that was... It made for a cool cover.
Hmm?
Well, yeah, that's what draws you in. It's like, oh, Galactus's head. And then it's not. It's robots.
Like that's okay, see, that's the exact same problem with that, I think, is the same problem you have with that I have with Venom. Like aside from the Venom comic being bad, the big problem is the come here boy, come here Venom, come here with two naked men. Like that's the worst thing. It's like calling a stray dog between two strangers, right? That's the worst thing. And there's other parts of it that's not so bad, but that's horrible. And like for you, Ultimate Galactus, I mean, there's plenty of parts of it that aren't that bad, but the problem is Galactus.
But like, the character.
Isn't that the one that had like the really good X-Men stuff in the beginning?
I did not think it was that good.
I liked that X-Men stuff in the beginning. It had a good eerie vibe to it. And then even the Fantastic Four, yeah, they were, like, stupid teenage oversexed versions of themselves, but they weren't as bad as Eddie Brock.
They weren't bad, but they were, like, reprehensible.
Yeah.
But that seemed very purposeful, so you can't fault the comic for that.
I mean, that's the editorial tone of the Ultimates universe, right? It's
gritty.
Exaggerated gritty sexiness. that's the Ultimates, is exaggerated gritty sexiness. Like... That's we knew that's what we were getting in for when we read Ultimates.
I did not think that.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, like a giant spaceman who eats planet force is not, you know, gritty, dark, sultry, sexy.
There's a swarm of robots that eat planets.
Well, those are at least gritty.
Are they? That's grittier than a dude with a purple helmet.
Okay, dude with a purple helmet. After I've seen him having a couple of scotches with Hercules, I don't think he's that gritty anymore. He might have been if he had never taken the helmet off, but after that scene, I can never envision him the same.
We never see the top of his head, though, do we?
I think we do. I think he just has, like, a black hair. He's got, like, a comb-over. Not comb-over. He's got helmet hair, basically.
Really?
Yeah, he just has just has flat hair.
I need to go back and look that up.
Yeah. Okay, Jen, what was yours?
Okay, mine's not even nearly that bad, but it was when we read IDW Infestation, that whole arc, the Transformers one just really
shut it down.
Like, it wasn't even, like, a letdown, because, okay, I'm gonna be honest and say the thing that you shouldn't admit. Transformers, it's okay, it's not my favorite.
Blasphemy.
I know, it's like, there's a rule for English majors, like, if you've never read Hamlet, just pretend you have, never say otherwise. I think it's the same for Transformers, like,
yeah, if you're
you love Optimus Prime and that's the end of it. But I don't know, it was just like, the thing with Sarge, I think it was Sarge, right? He had a fake little machine cigar, and he was
self-sacrificial. Cup.
Oh, yeah, Cup.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I guess he looked like a Sarge. He should have been called that.
Well, Sarges often have cigars.
Yes.
Sarge's cigars.
Yeah, like Apone from Aliens.
Yeah.
But it just... it was... I guess it was kind of sad that he died, but...
But you could see it coming from a mile away.
Yeah, and there was also, I think, something about penance with someone, and it didn't really... They didn't flesh it out enough, because they didn't have that many pages to work with. And then, also, zombie robots, I think, is taking it a step too far. Like, you're taking camp and turning it into ultra camp. Like, zombie Star Trek, it's camp. Zombie Ghostbusters, camp. Zombie robots just doesn't make any fucking sense.
It's like you're trying to force one genre onto another genre it doesn't fit.
Yeah, it's like Pride and Prejudice and zombies. It's when you take the zombie thing a step too far. So I didn't like that.
And then you have another one on your list, Jen, that I completely forgot about but entirely agree with.
Yes, Face Off with Nick Cage as a Russian woman.
Yes.
Okay, I really like Greg Rucka's writing, and I really like how he treats his female characters. In fact, if you Google, like, Greg Rucka on his female characters, he has this little thing that he... I can't remember if it was a speech or a mini-essay. He does such a good job of explaining why he writes the way he writes, and... Like, he just takes this really wonderful feminist perspective where he's just like, you know, I write strong women because that's how I see women. And it's the same thing Joss Whedon does, and it's a very good thing to be seeing in the world of, like, science fiction and, you know, fantasy genre, whatever, writing. This comic was a letdown.
I mean, just... even, like, when... The art's awkward, but it has its high points and its strong moments and all the other thing. It's the most... I don't think it was supposed to be, but I think it's the most fucking creepy, disturbing comic I've ever read.
Yeah, it's basically emotional rape. And it's kind of also putting forth this idea that, like, who you are is directly tied... Like, not just on, you know, a physiological, psychological level, like, to what you look like, but... You know, you think you wake up with someone else's face, you're like, okay, I'm going crazy, or I'm a spy and something crazy is happening to me, or, you know, something is wrong here. You don't just, in like half a day, be like, okay, I am this other person and I accept that because that's my new face. Right? So,
yeah.
I don't know. It was not Greg Rucka's best. It's a disappointment.
Yeah, speaking of disturbing stuff, Morgan Lugas is in somebody's notes.
Yes, okay. So under, like, the little caption, what moment stuck out the most? I gotta say, Morgan Lugas wading into the Thames with, like, the massive orgy going on around he, she, it.
And naked most scientist disturbing. Guy. I think the scientist got naked at that point, too, right?
Yes, yeah, he, like, followed it. I guess it's an it. He followed it in to the river, and he was like, I come to meet my God. And it's just like, oh, this is not a thing I needed imprinted on my psyche. Like, it was really good. It's good that it was that disturbing, but also, ooh.
Yeah, that's the thing. As you're describing it, I'm thinking, oh, man, that comic was so fucked up and weird. I gotta go read it again.
Sorry, go ahead, Jen.
I was just gonna say, like, for all its disturbing parts, they felt like they had a place in that comic, which is kind of interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that whole arc was really good. I mean, Eternals, the Neil Gaiman Eternals was really good, and then Walt Simonson's Darkseid, or Orion versus Darkseid.
Yeah. You know what? Those
are really good comics.
This is a side thing, just for us, I guess. But there's a Power Pack, Hero Clicks. I'm going to make a Power Pack team. And all of them together, like, the whole Power Pack is less, like, costs fewer points. They're easier. They're less powerful altogether in the game than Crypto the Superdog.
They're so lame.
They're so shitty. All of them together are worse than the Superdog.
Power Pack.
Huh?
Why did you think of the Power Pack?
Because they're in the start of it, aren't they?
Of which one?
Of the
Eternals?
Yeah. No. They're in the start. There's some weird side story in the front of Darkseid versus Orion. I thought it was Power Pack, wasn't it?
No, Andy.
Something else.
Oh, no, Power Pack's Marvel. Yeah, it's Newsboy.
Newsboy Legion.
Oh, now I gotta go see if they have HeroClix.
You just wanted to tell everybody about your HeroClix team.
Maybe.
Now you know how truly nerdy we all are.
Yeah.
You thought we just read comics. We actually play with the toys.
Like all grown-ups do.
Yeah.
So okay, David, then what was your, what moment do you remember the most?
I wrote down the meat suit.
I just wanted you to say meat suit again.
Just say it a couple times right now.
Meat suit, meat suit, meat suit.
I'm yes. Right there now. You go.
It's so awesome.
No, I think, like you said earlier, Andy, we picked some good ones this year. I think the good definitely outweighed the bad.
Yeah.
But the meat suit was just, it was like, it was the high point. It was the culmination of all the goodness that we acquired throughout the year.
Yeah.
It was Deadpool wearing a pig.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I think my my moment that stuck out the most, like, if I think about all of the, like, panels that we've seen and, like, the moments that have been in the comics, the thing that just comes up in my mind the most is that panel of Superman in the sun during All-Star Superman. That panel of him, like, churning the sun like a fucking iron worker or some shit.
Yeah, it's, like, all art deco, yeah?
Yeah, and it's just that scene that's, like, the whole culmination of that story is boiled down to one wordless page. And it's just, like, that's perfect. That's perfect. I don't have to see any other art quietly to know that he's good. I don't have to read anything else. All I have to see is that page remembering that story. And I'm like, oh, man. You, man. You're good at this. You're so good at this. Oh, yeah, that one. Definitely that one. But you have a Superman one down too, Jen, right?
Yes, actually, it's not really a moment. But just reading about, I have it as Soviet Übermensch, and I don't think I spelled mensch right. In Red Sun, just this idea of Superman no longer being the all-American hero, having that very essence of his character completely undermined was such a satisfying read. And I think that's because I have some sort of personal vendetta against Superman. I don't know, it's like deep-seated, and I don't know where it came from. Probably some childhood trauma. But I don't like the character, and seeing him in a different light was really refreshing and fun. And especially, like, Superman is so cheery, you know? It's cheesy cheery. He has this Crypto the Super Dog, and, you know, grows up on a fucking, like, corn farm or something, and he's a journalist, and then, you know, he has the little, like, curl on his forehead when he becomes Superman, and it's just... it's so 1950s nuclear family sugar-coated bleh. But then you see this, like, you know, sad, gritty, life-ruined Superman, and it's touching to know that you take this person, and he's kind of at the core the same person, same personality, and... you know, just slightly different circumstances, you know, bad luck makes him into something so different. It's just a really cool concept.
Yeah.
I don't know. That wasn't a moment, but it did stick with me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's just, the whole concept of Red Sun is so interesting. I think that's why that one's going to stick around for a long, long time, as being a comic that you have to read if you're a Superman fan at all. So, okay, I think that's enough looking back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is there anything else, anything you guys wanted to say that we didn't mention yet?
I was just going to say I should have put Kingdom Come on the list somewhere for me. Because that's a really good comic, too.
Yeah.
And Alex Ross's art is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. What we're going to do is we got a bunch of stuff on our list that, like, we want to read. Like, just eventually we want to do a story arc of these. And I've got a list of, like, 10 picked out, and we're going to throw up a poll on Facebook. And then we'll just, like, do them in order of whatever gets the most votes. But if something gets 0 votes and nobody wants to fucking listen to it, then we're not going to do that. Apparently. So these are the ones that we got in mind. Okay, the first one, we're just going to do a Cliff Chang art, because that guy's art is amazing. Just do, like, 3 trades of Cliff Chang. I think you put that one on there, Jen.
Someone mentioned it at our
Shelby
last episode.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, his art is great. So we can do that one, and then the other one that's on here is X-Men. I know, I was thinking we could do like Days of Future Past, the Frank Miller Wolverine, which I hear is good. I don't know, but it's...
you know, I think we could do a Wolverine arc on his own. Like we could read Origin.
Oh, I mean, we could, but I'm so bored of him. And we haven't even read the X-Men ones yet.
Well, let's do X-Men first. I think we should save Wolverine-specific stuff for another day.
Okay, okay. And then, of course, I think we have to do House of M, because it was like an X-Men-centric, Marvel-wide event, you know? Yeah. It'd be like if we did an Novacore arc and didn't do anything for Annihilation. Right, like, eventually have to talk about how the Nova go to shit.
Yeah.
And then this one I put on here while I was talking to a listener, J-Money, DC's letdowns, all of the big events that people thought, oh, come on, really, guys? And I think it's Identity Crisis, so we can talk about rape, and I can rant for an hour. And then Prelude to Infinite Crisis, where hopefully David and I can rant for an hour.
Yeah.
And then Final Crisis, where we all go, what the fuck is wrong with you, Grant Morrison?
I need to reread Final Crisis. I actually have a funny story about that. I don't know if I should save it for that podcast, or I can share it now.
Do it now.
Okay, so...
fucking story time.
I've never actually read Final Crisis. It was read to me by my wife.
What?
I have the hardcover, like, trade of it, of Final Crisis, and my wife wanted to read it to me one time, so like over a 3-hour period, she read the entire trade, cover to cover. And it was funny because she had to stop and at certain parts so I could explain stuff to her.
That's awesome.
But it was a lot of fun, yeah.
That's awesome.
So I think Final Crisis would be cool because I haven't read. I would like to reread that one.
Yeah, and then the next one I'm kind of considering is like a double arc. Like Justice League and Avengers, And apparently there's another JLA Avengers crossover that's actually really good.
Awesome.
So I was thinking we could do like three Justice League stories, do the JLA Avengers crossover, and then do three Avengers stories. And make it like this big 7-episode fucking thing.
Man, that's straight. I think that's pretty epic, Andy.
That'd be straight that's fucking ballin', right?
That's ambitious.
It's very ambitious. And then I also kind of want to do Justice Society, because I think there's a lot of good stories in there that don't get told. There's a lot of this great thing with... Because if nobody knows, we read 52, and Black Adam's the ruler of Kandak, right?
Mm-hmm.
But before that, he was a member of the Justice Society of America, and he saw Kandak, and he's like, this is my homeland, and these people are suffering there, and they're oppressed. I'm going to go and free them and become their ruler, and this is a good, right thing to do. Does anybody else from the Justice Society want to join me? And a couple people left with him. And so it's really, I really want to read the story of him going and doing that with people from the Justice Society, trying to come to grips with the decision to go and conquer a foreign country, while they're called the Justice Society of America.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good press.
And then talk about the fallout from that, too. Like, what happens when after that, say, you know, Adam Smasher, who's one of the people who went and did that, tries to come back and rejoin the team. Like, it's no big deal. Like, sorry, bro. You, like, up and left to do something we all thought was hella wrong.
Yeah, and I really like Alan Scott as a character, so I'd like to read more about him, too.
Yeah. And then the next one on the list is Buddy Comics, because Buddy Comics and Buddy Cop movies are awesome.
Hey, so Andy, let me stop you right there.
Okay.
So I'm looking at this list that you've created, and you have Buddy Comics, and then you have Iron Fist and Luke Cage, which is a Buddy comic, and then you have Blue and Gold, which is also a Buddy comic.
Because Buddy comics are the best. So if Blue and Gold... I'm tripling my chances.
Here, let me fix this for you really quick on
Blue. Because if people pick Blue and Gold, then we can do Blue and Gold. If people pick Iron Fist and Luke Cage, then we can do Iron Fist and Luke Cage. Why did you put them under Buddy comics?
Because they are Buddy comics.
Yes. But then, okay. So if people don't want to do like a whole 3 set of Iron Fist and Luke Cage or a whole 3 set of Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, then we'll just do Buddy comics. We'll just do one of each.
Yeah.
And then also throw in Hercules and Amadeus Cho.
Yes!
Okay.
Herc and Cho. Because we've already had a little bit of Herc and Cho, and they're awesome together. So that's like, so those are actually 3 on the list. And then the other one that I think would be really awesome, and this was kind of suggested to us by another listener, Shelby, music-themed heroes. So like Dazzler and Vibe.
Say Vibe, yes.
And then the last one, I'm like, okay, we always do it in sets of 3, but I can only think of 2 music-themed heroes. I can only think of Dazzler and Vibe. There's got to be a 3rd one. And then David, I think, David, you're the one that brought up Kiss meets Archie.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's funny, like, actually, another thing, the last weekend, Cartoon Network aired the DC Comics Robot Chicken special.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the characters that they've made fun of is somebody called, like, Banjo Man? Mr. Banjo is apparently a DC Comics character. So we could try to find Mr. Banjo stuff.
I hope he exists.
I kind of want to stick with Kids Meets Archie, because we haven't done Archie at all.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. Oh, man. So I just Googled Mr. Banjo. He came up under the Shazam wiki.
So that's how you know it's
actually
good.
If he's a villain, he's a Marvel family villain.
if he's from Fawcett City, you know he's the corniest of the corny.
Oh my god.
Just try to remember Talkin' Tawny, the Talkin' Tiger.
He's a recurring villain.
That banjo fucks up the world's mightiest mortal.
He's just a fat man with a banjo.
I never knew I could be a super villain. I have to go buy a banjo.
He was an agent for the Axis powers during World War II.
Why? There's nothing more American than a banjo. What was he, an infiltrator?
No.
Yeah.
With his banjo.
Oh, yeah. So it actually says he delivered secrets in the form of musical notes.
What does that mean, though?
There's only so many words you can make with A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Well, see, actually, in the cartoon, in the DC Comics thing on Cartoon Network, they said that he played Morse code on his banjo.
But that doesn't... It doesn't really make sense. That can't really work.
Well, we just went down a tangent there.
Okay, the next one on the list is Justice League International.
Yes.
Because they're awesome. They're just great. I mean, if you want to talk about good team, this has got to be one of the greatest comic books to come out of the 80s. I swear. It's like poignant and interesting and says existential shit through the villain, all while there's a subplot about Booster Gold and Blue Beetle stealing Martian Manhunter's cookies. Like, there's so much serious, awesome, kind of weird existentialism crap, same page as hilarious fucking pranks.
And one of my favorite panels in all of comics comes out of that, out of the JLI run.
Yeah.
And of course it has Booster Gold and Blue Beetle in it. So.
You're damn right. And then, of course, after we do it, we can also read formerly known as the Justice League. And then what's the other one? It's formerly known as the Justice League, and then I can't believe it's not the Justice League.
Oh, the one where they go to hell, yeah.
Yes, the one where we go to hell. Yeah. I kind of want to do that because it's awesome. And then of course, the one that we just discussed on the show, the cake episodes, both cheese and beef variety, hopefully. we want to be equal, you know? So we could do like...
I guess we're reading Terror of the Black Witch. What was it called?
Terror of the Black some shit. I don't know.
It's Terror Witch of the Black Rose.
Yeah, so that one. And then like Grimm's Fairy Tales. I don't even know if I like Beefcake Comics. I don't know. I need to go talk to one of the super nerdy friends of mine who would know. I say that like I'm not also a super nerdy. I have to go find somebody more informed about Beefcake Society. Someone who's
specialized in it.
Yeah, somebody who is familiar with beefcake culture.
He's like a bodybuilder.
Because I'm sure I could do the research, but I don't want to spend that much time looking around fanfic websites to try and find where good beefcake is.
No, you don't want to do that research.
Really don't. So anyway, that forum should be up on the Facebook in the next, the Facebook? Jesus Christ, what am I, fucking 60? That'll be up.
Go to the Google.
Go to the Googles and type in the websites. No, that just turned into Toki. Fuck, I am... Okay, we need to wrap this up. That's going to be on Facebook.
Oh, Andy, there's a Metalocalypse comic that we could read also for music themes.
Music themed? Okay, now we got four episodes for music themed. Bam! Okay. So that poll is going to be up on Facebook. If you don't want to do it through Facebook, you can always let us know your vote. You can let us know through Twitter, which is @APSupercast. It's twitter.com/APSupercast. You can also send us an email. What's our email address, Jen?
It's atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
And you can just go to our website, and from the website, there's a link to the Facebook page. This is really sloppy tonight. I apologize. So from the main website where you can find out about past and future episodes. There's also a little button that says Facebook. But what's the website address, David?
Are you talking about our main website?
Yes.
Okay, it's atomicpoweredsupercast.com.
Yes. And as always, please try to remember to subscribe on...
iTunes!
Yeah, there it was. She knew where I was going. Yay, okay, good. So next series, what we're going to do is we're going to do just what we've been reading and what we want to share. So we're going to start off with what I'm going to choose first, and then we're going to do Jen and we're going to do David. So the first week, we're going to do Creator-Owned Heroes. We're going to read Creator-Owned Heroes 1, 2, and 3. And this is like a really cool personal project that Jimmy Palmiotti is doing. He's got it in his head that people want to read original stories. Original stories owned by the creator. I don't know where this idea comes from. It's crazy. So
sarcastic, by the way.
Yes, very, very much so. So he created this book and he's putting it out there, and I think it's great. So I'm gonna read it. I'm gonna have these two people read it, and then hopefully you'll read it with me. The first issue is free on Comixology, so at the very least read that one, and if you like it, pick up the next two. It's definitely worth it. They're like really big books, tons of content for not a whole lot of money. And then after that, we're gonna do Runaways. Yes, Runaways with an A, not Runaways. Runaways.
Airport.
Yes. We're going to do volume one of that for Jen. And then the week after that, like we teasered earlier, What's the literary term? Foreshadowed. Foreshadowed. Yes. That we foreshadowed earlier. We're gonna do Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1.
And he's got a master in fine arts, guys.
Fuck. I have a master in word making, and it fails me constantly. So that's what we got coming up. Until then, that's everything, right? That's the whole outro? We're good?
Those be words.
Yes, they be. All right, everybody. Until next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
From through Twitter, which is at twitter.com/... No, Jesus.
And then the people did the things. And then stuff happened.
Are you talking like Mr. Banjo?